Listening to Not By Works with Dr. J.B. Hickson, advancing the message of God's amazing grace through the teaching of God's Word.
Jesus paid it all, all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, He washed it white as snow.
And now with today's message, here is Dr. Hickson.
I believe the Bible is the Word of God, and every Word of God is flawless. It's perfect and infallible. God's Word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. It is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, like joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And that means when we study the Bible, it pierces our hearts and changes our lives. God's Word is the only standard for our beliefs and attitudes and practices. When God gave us the Word of God, within the written pages of Scripture, He gave us everything we need for life and godliness. And in this book, we find these words in Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And that means that faith for those who are lost and need to be saved from the penalty of sin comes by hearing the Word of God, and specifically the gospel that it proclaims, the good news that Jesus Christ died for our sins and rose from the dead. And faith for those who are already saved, to grow spiritually mature, also comes by hearing the Word of God. Well, hello everyone. My name is JB with Not By Works. Thanks for joining us for the program. We are wrapping up a series today entitled Defending the Sanctity of Marriage. Defending the Sanctity of Marriage. And our guest all week long has been Dr. Andy Woods. He is the pastor of Sugarland Bible Church in Houston, Texas, and also a professor of Bible and theology at the College of Biblical Studies, where I spent 6 years also teaching. And he's also an attorney, a conference speaker, an author, just a great friend, no stranger to our program. We've had him on the program many times. His website, if you'd like to find out more about Dr. Andy Woods, is thewordonpolitics.com, thewordonpolitics.com. Well, as we wrap up this discussion about defending the sanctity of marriage, we have certainly laid the foundation biblically. What does God's Word say about homosexuality? And clearly the Bible teaches that homosexuality is wrong. It is a sin, and it is not something that anyone should engage in. We've also talked about a little bit about the agenda and how the whole civil rights argument just doesn't hold water. And as we close out the program today, I want Dr. Woods, who I'm going to welcome in just a moment, to talk to us a little bit about the imminent Supreme Court ruling. What is it? What are the implications of it? What's going to happen if it rules one way or the other, and if it opens the floodgates? What will life look like in our American culture? And then, most importantly, we want to close out this series by giving you some important practical admonition on what we can do in this situation. You know, this is not one of those woe is me type of programs. We always like to answer the so what question. What do I do with this information? How does it affect my life? And how should believers respond to the homosexual agenda? So, Dr. Woods, great to have you back. Thanks for being with us all week long, and glad to have you again today.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
So what is this Supreme Court ruling that the announcement is imminent?
Well, I mean, just to kind of make a long story short, really what's about to happen is the Supreme Court is about to create a constitutional right for homosexuals to get married. Mm. And, of course, our Supreme Court and the vast majority of legal scholars today have embraced this idea that the Constitution is a living, breathing document. And, therefore, it's the function of the judge to read things into the document to keep up with a changing society. And based on the oral arguments, it's pretty clear, unless God does a miracle, and I hope and pray He does, but they're about ready to create this constitutional right out of thin air. You've got four jurists up there that are considered the liberal voting bloc, Sotomayor and Ginsburg and Kagan and Breyer. and they will most certainly vote in favor of this new constitutional right to have a gay homosexual marriage. Keep in mind that two of those justices, I believe it was Kagan and Ginsburg, they've officiated gay weddings. So you're not dealing with neutral judges or justices or jurists at all. And then there's Kennedy, who's typically the swing vote in these types of controversial cases. He provides the fifth crucial vote. And in a case called U.S. versus Windsor, I believe the name is, he came out so aggressively in favor of homosexual rights that Justice Scalia, one of the few conservatives on the bench, wrote a dissenting opinion saying the majority's opinion is so aggressive that it makes the rest of us, he used the Latin expression, but it makes us enemies of humanity. You know, the tone in which Justice Kennedy supported his gay rights position makes the rest of us feel as if we are the enemies of humanity. It makes us out to be the enemies of the human race. Mm-hmm. So if you support a biblical position on homosexuality, then in the eyes and the mind of Kennedy, you know, you're looked at as almost an enemy of humanity and the human species. And so that would be the fifth vote. And if that coalition breaks up, you know, some people say, well, certainly Justice Roberts wouldn't vote in favor of gay marriage. But keep in mind that it was Justice Roberts who gave us, you know what, Obamacare.
Yeah, and if I can interject, and you're the sure. expert in the Supreme Court and the legal aspects, but from my research, Justice Roberts also has a long track record in the law firms that he worked for back in his early days of promoting homosexual issues and homosexual agenda.
Right, exactly. And, you know, just because that there's an R in front of a president's name that appoints these jurists doesn't mean they're going to vote conservative. For example, I'll just remind people that it was Richard Nixon, you know, a Republican, that put on the bench a man named Harry Blackmun. Harry Blackmun is the author of the Roe versus Wade decision, which was another terrible decision where they, again, invented a constitutional right to procure an abortion in the 14th Amendment, just like they're trying to find this homosexual marriage right in the 14th Amendment. And look at all of the millions of aborted children as a result of that decision. So the same type of horrific thing. And I really want to be wrong about all of this. I don't want to be a pessimist, but it's about to manifest itself. We're going to have a constitutional right for homosexuals to get married. Now, what does that mean? It means now all of these states that have voted against gay marriage, all of the work of these politicians and voters that got those statewide ordinances into effect will be null and void. And homosexuals will be able to show up almost at any church, any organization, any pro-Bible-based business, a Christian radio station, a Christian bookstore, and demand that their view be accepted. And now the floodgates of litigation are open, and it puts a club, if you will, a weapon, into the hands of the gay rights movement, something I believe they've always wanted to beat into submission any organization that would dare stand for biblical values. And that's why they've tried so hard to portray themselves as a persecuted minority. Because if you're a persecuted minority, you get this elevated protection under the law. And once you get that, then you have the weaponry that you need to get all of these other organizations that are Bible-based to conform. I mean, my goodness, look at what they did to the United States military. Mm. Look at what they did to the Boy Scouts of America. Look at the war they declared on those organizations. And why would we think that this war won't find its way into the pulpit of a church? That's the next target.
Yeah, and it doesn't stop there, because if this ruling is handed down the way it looks like it's going to be, then the same premise that is used, that was used, faulty though it may be in our view from a biblical worldview, to make that ruling would then apply to other issues. I mean, what about if two women can get married, why not three women, right?
Sure.
I mean, so tell us about some of the new terminology that's being created as a result of the depravity of man.
Sure. And, you know, this is the old slippery slope argument, but guess what? The slope is slippery.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And, you know, I remember years ago watching a gay rights parade on TV, and I remember a group marching after the parade had just gone by, and it was a group called NAMBLA, and that stands for the North American Man-Boy Love Association, promoting pedophilia. And I thought to myself, well, why not? I mean, they are making the identical arguments that the gay rights movement is making. We're born this way. We're discriminated against. Accept us as we are. You know, be loving. And if the homosexual movement can make those arguments, why can't the same argument be made for pedophilia? In fact, I'm holding an article in my hand right now called Pedophilia, a Disorder, but Not a Crime. And it's written by a law professor at Rutgers School of Law, I believe it is. And she essentially is arguing here that pedophilia needs to be accepted and embraced just like homosexuality. Now, you mentioned three women. I hope your listeners will Google at some point the word thruple. The first time I heard that, I wasn't even sure what it meant.
What's that word again? Say that again.
It's like couple.
Okay.
Spell it like couple, but instead of a C at the beginning, you put a THR. So it's a thruple. And in essence, what it's talking about is three women that want to get married. And if your listeners will Google that, they'll come to several articles where this has happened.
Or let me just interject, if you don't want the NSA to follow you, you can use Start Page instead of Google, but anyway.
Okay, there we go. Thank you. Thanks for that clarification. But, you know, here this article says, here come the brides, brides plural. Mm. Three Massachusetts lesbians claim they got married to each other and are now expecting their first child. You know, I don't know how they got pregnant, but one of them was apparently artificially inseminated. But the names of these women are Doll, Kitten, and Bryn Young exchanged vows in a commitment ceremony last August with all three brides wearing white and traditional wedding veils. I cried watching Doll and Kitten walk down the aisle towards me with their dads, Bryn told the Sun newspaper of London. After we said our vows, Doll and Kitten kissed me, and then they kissed each other. And the article goes on, and it talks about how they had to have a special lawyer drop special papers for community property and things of that nature. Well, these things seem bizarre. They seem like freak shows to us, but they're about ready to become mainstream. Because once you open the door to sin at the level that the homosexual community wants, any perverse lifestyle or group can make the identical arguments. I mean, if the gay rights arguments are true, I would challenge anybody to tell me why we can't have thruples, or why we can't have men and boys getting married, or two men and a cat, or whatever combination you want to come to. And, you know, the floodgates are opening. We're drifting into a incredible cesspool of sin in America. If you put your ear to the ground, you can hear the founding fathers, you know, rolling over in their graves. I think of Blackstone and his commentaries on the law, where he said homosexuality is a crime against nature because it rebels against the principles of scripture and the principles of creation. And we're just throwing that wonderful heritage we have away, and we're entering a time period that I call Sodom's Second Coming, where it's going to become difficult for people like you and me and programs like yours that want to stand for traditional values. You know, Paul wrote to Timothy, and he says, in the last days, perilous times are going to come. You know who he's talking to there? He's talking to Timothy, who's a man of God. It's going to become hard on people like ourselves that want to stand on the authority of the Word of God in the midst of this cesspool of sin that's coming upon us.
Boy, it really is. And, you know, it really is a sign of the times, too, when we understand the plain, normal understanding of Scripture and its literal, grammatical, historical context. We know that evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And this world is under the sway of the wicked one. There's no doubt about it. It's a present evil age, Paul calls it in Galatians 1:4. And someday he's going to rescue us if we know the Lord, if you've placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and Him alone for salvation, then we look up and are watchful for the blessed hope that the coming of the Lord, and He'll rescue us from this present evil age. But until then, if the Lord tarries His coming, we have a job to do. We are to be shine like lights in this perverse generation, the Apostle Paul says. And so how can we do that? What should we as believers and Bible-believing Christians do with this information, and how can we make a difference?
Yeah, that's a great question. And so, some of these things are going to just seem obvious, but I think we need to be reminded of them. One of them is to pray. You know, Paul writes to Timothy, and he says, first of all, in 1 Timothy 2:1-4, then I urge that entreaties and prayers and petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men. And then he says, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. You know, the guy that was on the throne when that was written was Nero, and he wasn't known for his pro-Christian policies by any stretch of the imagination. I'm reminded, I believe it's in Proverbs 21 in verse 1, it says, the king's heart is like water in a water course. Just as a water course directs water, the Lord directs the king's heart wherever He wants it to go. And sometimes I fear that political activism on the part of Christians has replaced prayer. Our ultimate weapon is prayer. It's not one or the other. It's both and. But sometimes I fear that we have substituted activity for prayer, when not understanding that our true power is prayer. The second thing I would encourage people to do is education. And that's why I'm grateful for programs like this, where we can get the truth out. Hosea 4 and verse 6 says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. It doesn't say they're destroyed for a lack of zeal or enthusiasm or motivation. It's just basic knowledge. People are not being taught the realities of Scripture and the American political scene. And I think if we understood more of these things, we would know what to do. I'm reminded of 1 Chronicles 12 and verse 32, which says, the sons of Issachar understood the times with the knowledge of what Israel should do. They knew what to do because they had a knowledge of the times that they were living in. So I think the Lord just uses programs like this to guide individual believers on what they should do in their community. And then the third thing I would point to is people, as they become educated, hopefully they'll develop a skill to see through the propaganda. A lot of these things we've talked about are just pure propaganda that's being pushed on us, and that should inform them on how to vote. We have a mayor in Houston who was instrumental in passing a city ordinance called HERO, and basically that ordinance allowed a man dressed as a woman to use the women's bathroom. And you know, all the pastors sat around shocked that such a thing could happen. Well, when you elect an openly lesbian gay mayor, these kinds of things happen. And so all the pastors rose up and started, petitions, and all of that is well and good. But the whole thing could have been preempted, because the election leading up to Mayor Parker's ascendancy to the mayorship of Houston, in that particular election, 11% of evangelical Christians even voted. And, you know, here we are in Houston. Someone told me that Houston is the home of about 3,000 to 4,000 churches. You've got churches on every corner. And I wonder what those pastors were saying to their flocks on the eve of that election. I bet you they were talking about a number of topics from their pulpits, all good topics, but there was not a lot of talk going on about stewardship and our need to be salt and light and our need to take advantage of voting and the basic rights God has given us. And this whole HERO and the bathroom bill, all of that could have been preempted if Christians had simply been stewards of their local government. And then the last thing I would draw people's attention to is don't lose hope. Things we have a tendency to look at them as they're falling apart. you know, they're really not falling apart. They're falling into place. God has not lost control of this universe, and he has told us in his word how everything's going to end. As I read the prophetic scripture like you do, it seems to me that things are going to get a lot worse, you know, before they get better. But the main thing I would get across to the listeners is stewardship. You know, a steward is not an owner, but is a manager. And all of us are stewards over certain things. We have time, we have talent, and we have treasure. And I would just add one more thing to our stewardship list here in America. That's our own government. I'm not even talking about national government at this point. I'm talking about city races, county races, local races. You know, we have a tendency to focus on just national elections, and let's be focused on that. But this Anise Parker situation happened because we lost control of a local source of power. So let's be good stewards of not just time, talent, and treasure. Let's add something else to our stewardship list, which is our own government, which is something we have the freedom to participate in freely in America still.
Amen. Well, we certainly do need more discernment, and we need God's people to stand up for truth, to stand up for what's right. And we really appreciate your being on the front lines of this. You know, we have the opportunity, you and I, to be at a lot of conferences together and to be at places where the Word of God is being proclaimed and taught. But it actually begins with the local church. And I know that's where your heart is. That's you're a pastor. I'm a pastor. That's God's divine design for making a difference in this world. So, Dr. Woods, thank you so much. Once again, Dr. Woods' website, thewordonpolitics.com. Thewordonpolitics.com. Thank you for being with us this week. What a powerful series this has been. And I'm sure we would love to have you back again sometime if you're willing.
I'm absolutely willing, and I appreciate you using your forum here on this show to disseminate actual truth rather than tickle the ears of people.
Amen. Amen. I appreciate it. Well, God bless you, and we look forward to talking again sometime. Well, you've been listening to Not By Works, and my name is J.B. Hickson. Thank you so much for joining us. Our guest this week has been Dr. Andy Woods. And, you know, as he talked about, in times like this, we really do need folks to stand up for truth. And this is a critical, critical issue, the issue of the homosexual agenda. And we appreciate and need your support and encouragement. You know, I don't mention finances hardly at all on the program, but let me just mention, if you appreciate the ministry of Not By Works and what we're standing for, you can contribute to our ministry on our website or by phone or by mail, and we would appreciate any gifts to help us further this ministry as our radio program continues to expand. Well, again, thank you for joining us. We invite you to tune in again next week as we begin a new series and look to the Word of God to strengthen our faith and change our lives. God bless you.
Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised this life up from the dead.
Not By Works Ministries is committed to promoting the clear gospel message that eternal life is a free gift, available only through faith in Jesus Christ alone, who died and rose again for our sins. We seek to advance this clear message of God's amazing grace through our daily radio program and through a nationwide conference speaking ministry on a variety of biblical topics. We also have books, DVDs, CDs, and other biblical resources available through our online store at notbyworks.org. To learn more about our ministry or to schedule a Not By Works conference, please visit notbyworks.org. If you share our passion for the clarity, accuracy, and urgency of the gospel, we invite you to join us in this mission by financially supporting our ministry. For a gift of any amount, we would like to send you a copy of Dr. Hickson's book, The Gospel Unplugged, Good News Plain and Simple. You may donate online at notbyworks.org or by calling 1-800-895-1851. That's 1-800-895-1851. You may also write to us at Not By Works, P.O. Box 101, Groveland, Illinois, 61535. Thanks for listening today, and remember Titus 3:5. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us.
Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.